As many of you know, there is something I like to do, which is I like to work with wood, and I like to turn wood on my lathe. And you have to know that with this, there is a difference between information and participation. And I can know, and I watch videos, I read articles on how to turn wood, and all of it is really good. However, there's something that must happen. I must walk into my shop, I must grab a piece of wood, I must put it on my lathe, I must turn my lathe on, and I must begin to use the tools to turn that piece of wood. And when you do, and you begin to turn that wood, you realize how important there are a few things that happen when you turn that wood, how you sharpen your tools, and using the right tool to do what you need to do. And when it comes together, and some of you who have turned wood, you know what I mean. When your tool is sharp and you've got it in there, just as it's supposed to be, ribbons of wood just fly all over the place. They just pile up on you, and there's something about that feel. It's just incredible for you to engage in it. But it's always a learning process, because as I've gotten it thinking it's just right, just as I get my bowl almost done, my tool maybe is dull, I put it in the wrong direction, and all of a sudden it catches, and I got a big gouge in my bowl, or it explodes, and the whole bowl just explodes on me, and then I have some firewood. But I have to get in there. I have to actually do it. There are times which, in doing this, I've been able to be by my father-in-law. He is a master craftsman when it comes to lathe work. And he will come, and even in my shop with my tools, he will come and he will begin to work on a piece of wood, and he'll show me something. And I'm just watching in amazement. And then he'll invite me to do what he has done, and I will try to do it, and he'll kind of give me correction along the way. But in all of that process, what I've done is I've engaged. It's not simply learning information about wood turning. Really what it is I am learning the way of turning wood. Does that make sense? I'm learning the way of turning wood. And that's kind of what we begin to get here, what Paul has to say. Look at verse 20 once again. And I want to begin here. Paul says this. He says, "You learned Christ." You've learned Christ. And the word that he uses here for "you learned," it means to learn by experience, through practice. And Jesus is not simply a subject to be studied. He is the direct object that we engage with. Jesus is the living teacher for you and I. That's why in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he says these words. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Do you get that? Learn from me. And so we have something very beautiful with Scripture. We have the Gospels that we get to engage with, and we get to study, and we get to see how Jesus lived life. And then we have this Holy Spirit who is in us, who represents God and shows us the way of Jesus. And the two combined are just so powerful. And then we have people around us that we also get to watch them walk the way of Jesus. And you put all of that together, and it just becomes a beautiful thing. But in it, we get to see the life of Jesus, how he responded to pressure, how he treated people, how he trusted the Father, how he used power, how he forgives the people around him, how he loves the people around him. We get to engage in that. And so we see here that it's not simply that you and I are just in church, doing church, but we are here to live the life of Jesus. We are here to live a life of maturity. And you know what maturity looks like? It's a Sunday school answer. Yes! Very good. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I know it's so simple, but it is so profound. So in that, what I want us to do, we're going to look at two things today, okay? I promise. I had three, but I'll never get through three. two things I want us to look at. And it's within verses 7, starting in verse 17 through 20. And then we'll look at the next part. We're going to miss the last part, unfortunately. But here's where we're going to go. When you look at verses 17 through 19 and you look in your Bibles, you see there that he speaks about futile thinking, darkening understanding, hardened hearts, and disordered desires. Sound familiar? Some of us will see it in other people. It's hard to see it in ourselves. But he is describing what happens when human beings become separated from what he calls here the life of God. For the life of God doesn't pursue these things, but the life of God pursues the life of Christ. But when we don't pursue the life of Christ, what we have happening is our thinking becomes ego-driven. Our hearts become hard. Our decisions become disordered. And soon our destructive things begin to feel normal. We need to hear Paul carefully. He is not inviting Christians. He's not inviting us to look down at people outside the church. So this isn't about going, oh yeah, I see the world out there. Look how bad it is. Because the truth is that when I do this, I've got a lot more pointing back to me. I had this couple in the office the other day, and they came in from the community saying, hey, we need some help. I said, yeah, we'd love to help you. And as we sat and we chatted with each other, we chatted about church. And I said, man, you're welcome to come to church. And he points to she really needs church. And I said, buddy, you got three fingers pointing back to you. Oh, yeah, I do. And so it's true. This is not about just looking out into the world. This is about us, because I sometimes are driven by my own ego. So when I look at this, I want in me the life of Christ, so that when I get bumped, the life of Christ comes out of me. A couple weeks ago, Hudson, you helped with a cup of water, right? And you bumped me, and what happened? Yeah, what came out? No, I wanted coffee to come out, right? Yeah, right? I wanted coffee to come out, but water came out as I got bumped. And that's the way it is. If I want the love of Jesus to come out, the love of Jesus has to be in there. And if he's not in there, it's not going to come out. And it's what I practice before I get bumped is what's going to determine what comes out. So when I practice the love of Christ, when I practice him being my way, the truth, and the life, then that's what comes out of me. But if I hope that when I get bumped, he's going to come out, it's probably not going to happen that way. So here, formation is what's happening to us all the time. Think about it this way. We think about what's happening here on a Sunday morning, or what you do in your Devo time, or what you do in Bible study as what is forming you, right? I think the truth is that we are always being formed spiritually. There's always a spiritual formation. And when I stopped and I thought about this in the world is spiritually forming me. I'm always being formed spiritually. It's either the way of the spiritual world or the way of the spiritual Jesus. But when I looked at this world as spiritually forming me, it began to change. It changed me. Because like, whoa, this is serious stuff. The world will spiritually form you into thinking the way that it wants us to think. I mean, advertising, right? Think of how specific advertising is. And then today, do you ever talk about, Raina and I want to do a bit of the Camino, not the Bryce Camino, but a shorter Camino. And we're talking about shoes. Guess what advertisement came up on my phone? Shoes. They algorithms know what makes you angry and what makes you fearful, and it will give you more of the same. See, that's spiritually forming you. Or you can have what Christ will form us. So not only do we have the world that is trying to spiritually form us, we've also been formed by the things that have happened to us in life. You that are a little bit younger, it's still happening to you. And you get, as a young person, you get an opportunity to not live that out, but to live it differently. For us that are older, well, you know, the things that we understood how to handle conflict by what we saw in our families. Our wounds teach us how to protect ourselves, and our success and failures teach us how to measure our value. Every voice around us is offering us a way of life. And then Christ says, that's not how you learned Christ. I think that's important. See, you may have learned to protect yourself by becoming angry, but that's not how you learn Christ. You may have learned how to avoid vulnerability by hiding the truth, but that's not how you learn Christ. You may have learned how to use words to control, to punish, to keep people at a distance, but that's not how you learned Christ. So Paul is asking, not asking, have you broken any rules? He's just asking, does your life resemble Jesus? And that question isn't there to shame us. It's not there to guilt us. It's there for us just to examine our lives. And here's the other thing is that you know, you're probably like me. You know, you were born on Saturday and church on Sunday. Many of you can relate to that, right? Like it was just boom, boom. Some of you are coming into this and you're learning it. But if you've grown up in the church, there are some things that you and I learned about Jesus that actually just aren't the way we should be living our life. I grew up in the turn or burn, right? I grew up in the fear that I'm going to lose my salvation. I'm not going to heaven. The wrath of God. I grew up in rule-based, not understanding grace. And I've had to relearn Jesus and who he is. So some of it comes when you and I will engage in Jesus and say, who is he? And that's why he says, "You, this is not the Christ you learned. You want to learn Christ? Go and spend the rest of your life in the Gospels. Man, you'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong. Go beyond that because the Bible is so rich in all its fullness. But wow, something to be learned there. So you did not learn it this way from Christ. And the way of Jesus is one that is not being spiritually formed by the world, but by being spiritually formed by him. All right, secondly, he moves on in here and he talks about putting off and putting on, right? Starting in verse 22. And in it he says, you were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in an attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created in the likeness of God in the true righteousness and holiness. So he's got this putting off and putting on that I just want to spend the remainder of our time on that this morning. And it's a renewing of our minds and our attitude. The old self in its humanity has been shaped by fear, pride, deception, and self-protection. We want to protect ourselves. I mean, ever since we were little, we were told, don't touch that, it's going to hurt you. And so we do a lot of that in our world today, trying to protect this. But the protection comes in putting on Christ. And so we hear these familiar words. Paul often talks about this. In Colossians 3, he talks about taking off the old self and putting on the new self, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. Why is Paul talking about the old self? Because the old self is familiar and it's inviting. It's the way we will often respond to difficulties. It's the way when we are wronged, the old self wants to feel comfortable. I've got something here. I feel Dwight, I feel a little bit, you know, I've got a couple things here. Does anybody know what this is? This is a letterman's jacket that I received in high school. What do you think, huh? Not bad. Now, you just didn't get a jacket just because. Like, anybody could, I mean, you could go buy this, but to get this right here, I mean, when I was growing, this is special right here, the big C. I was the Canby Union High School, and we were the Cougars, right here. And I got a soccer, because I played 1 year, I played varsity soccer 1 year, one stripe. I wasn't quite as special as the guy that got three, but I got one. And so this jacket, it's still, I can still put it on. It's kind of crazy. Raina says, don't button it up. I'm going to do it anyway. No, I think down I'm going to be able to do it, all right? Well, not too bad. There we go. You know, this jacket holds a lot of memories for me, and I can still put it on. It might fit better if I lost a little bit of weight. I was quite a little skinny runt back then. But you know what? Even if I could make it fit better, it still wouldn't work, would it? I mean, this is from my high school days. It's what I was back then, not who I am now. But it holds a lot of good memories. And I think what I see Paul saying here is to put off the old life. Even though it may not fit anymore like it used to, or maybe it does fit a little bit, it's tempting to go back, isn't it? It's tempting to go back into the closet and to grab that old way of dealing with something in our life with anger or with words or running and hiding. It's just, it's easy to put something old back on. But he's telling us we have something new. We have something new, and that new is Christ. It's a new garment. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, one of the greatest things I loved doing was going school shopping. Did your mom and dad take you school shopping for new clothes? Isn't that the best? It is. It's like the best thing to be able to get school clothes. And you know, my mom, she didn't wash my stuff before I wore it. Some people do that. She allowed me to put it on. There was something about that new smell of that new garment and putting it on and going to school with that new garment. And this is what he says, put on what is new. It smells beautiful. It smells wonderful, and it's abundant. There's a closet for you to go into, and it's a walk-in closet, I want to tell you. It's a walk-in closet. It's not just this little bitty dinky thing. It is a full-blown walk-in closet. You'll walk into it. Rod, you're a tall guy. You walk into it, and it's full. It's full of his love, his grace, his mercy. And he says, clothe yourself with it. It is not what you have to do. It's what he has already done for you. The newness is him. It's him. And so it isn't about you trying harder. It's about you training. You know, you talk about how you need to break the cycle. And you break the cycle through Jesus Christ. And you recognize that one of the easiest ways is to be able to, it's not easy, but easier way is to come into a young person's life and to be able to bring and give them Jesus. And say you don't have to wear that old broken system anymore. It may look good, and it's tempting to put it back on, but honestly, folks, this doesn't really fit me, does it? And if it doesn't, it may fit me, but it doesn't fit my age. I'd look ridiculous if I wore this thing around. You're going, dude, are you trying to be like 16 again? We'll try to do that with all kinds of things of our lives. And he's saying here, just clothe yourself. And he's saying this because in the context of the church, because this is really about the context of the church, the way we handle each other, it needs to be that we're clothed in Jesus. Because I'm going to be able to know how to respond. Because it's clothing ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. It's what he says in Ephesians 4:2. The new self is not merely a private spiritual identity. It becomes visible relationship. And here's the thing. We know that we're putting on the new self. If you want to go, how do I know if I'm putting on the new self? It's this way. When the character of Jesus begins to appear in the way that we treat people. When the character of Jesus begins to appear about how we treat people. Some of you run here. Some of you have run a long distance. And when you run a long distance, I remember signing up for a marathon. And there's no way I could have showed up on the day of the marathon, stood at the start line, and go, okay, I'm going to run this marathon. Let's go. I had to train to run that marathon. I had to put in hours of pounding the pavement to train to run that. And if I want to walk with Jesus, then I come to him and I say, Lord, here I am. I might even say, God, here's my old self. Here's my anger. Here's my deception. Here's my fears. Here's my brokenness. Show me your clothes. Show me how to put on you in those areas. You know, the rest of this, he's really talking about what it looks like to walk in a life of the church. What does it look like to walk in that life of church, of being people who have open hands, people who speak truthfully to one another, not hurting one another, but with love and care, by following the example of Jesus? And I love that part. I'm just going to end right there. Just look at those words at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5. For following God's example, therefore, follow God's example, therefore, dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Folks, in this, I want us to see as we walk as his example, he doesn't say so that you can become children of God. Do you see that? He says you walk in his way, you follow his example because you are his children. You're not earning the right to be called sons and daughters. Jesus did that for us. He did that for us. We're just now practicing what it looks like to walk in the way of Jesus. And it transforms lives. Yours and others. My hope is that I am transformed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. Lord Jesus, I thank you that your passion, your goal, your desire in our lives is that we know you. Lord, what you want from us is the person we become. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have given us everything we need to become children of God. Father, in this room today, I know because I know in my own life, there are hurts from the past. There are decisions that I've made in the past. There are ways that I've dealt in life in the past that I keep wanting to have a grip on. And Lord, today may we find ourselves in a place that we will trust you. That you've got us. Lord, we will not see you as an angry God who is disappointed in us, but as a loving Father running to us because we're willing to come home and surrender and walk with you. Oh Lord, heal us in our brokenness. Lord, help us not to live in guilt or shame. But God, give us a vision, a picture of the closet so full and abundant of your grace and mercy, of your spiritual blessings, that we desire that more than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen.